Hello, everyone. Let me get all situated here. I'm sorry. First of all, if you just could see what's in front of me, there is a cat. And she's sitting like on the desk, just like, hello, mama. So let me get all you guys in here and get me. I'm not going to turn this guy back up. I was sitting in a hole. If I ever want to, I'm just going to put this here. I normally try to tuck it behind me, but it's going to like pull on my cord. So that's not going to work. All right. Today, so we normally start off with some weekly planning lessons. And I just want to say I spent my morning doing my planning. I had an interesting question that was asked of me the other day. And someone said, tell me, like, if you had to attribute, like, your, like, ability to get shit done, eat on plan, keep your weight off, all that kind of stuff. Like, what is the most important thing that you do for yourself? And it's hands down planning. I can't even tell you guys. I probably spend more time planning what I'm going to eat, how I'm going to live my life, when I'm going to wake up, when am I going to work out. Like, I get everything planned ahead of time so that throughout the week, what I love most is to be able to just do that stuff and not have the hassle and worry of what do I do next? What do I want right now? I spend so little time in indecision. It's unreal. Like a lot of people who say like, I just want to have spontaneity. Where's all the spontaneity? I'll tell you exactly where my spontaneity is in. Very often I get done with things and I spontaneously have time to do something. Like when it comes to food and stuff, like if I, like all of my spontaneity is planned in advance on Sunday so that when it's time to go out or when I want to do those things, guess what? I get to really enjoy it. And I get to like think about it all week long. Now, like this particular week's a good example. I do not know what night we're doing date night. Chris is, y'all are gonna laugh. But so Chris, every year when it gets about February and March, he decides he's gonna get pool shape, which means he'll start exercising again. He usually pulls the keto trigger. He calls it carb night or something. I don't know what he does, honestly. Let's put it this way. He don't do the four basics. So, and he even listens to, like, he's a podcast editor. He hears all the things, and he's sitting right over there. So it's not like he doesn't know what I teach and stuff. But he also doesn't have a lot of drama. Like, for him to just change his food on a dime to get the result he wants, it's fine. And then if during this, the summer and the fall, if he puts his weight back on, it's fine. He has no drama around that. He just knows he's just going to do these things. Right. So anyway, he was telling me about it and he like suddenly changes all his food for Aunt JJ to cook. So he's starting his plan. So that means that when Chris Crabtree is doing his plan, we have one night a week that we have to go and we have to let him eat all the carbs, according to his plan. So he doesn't know what day he wants to do that on. So all I do is I put on my weekly plan. We're going to have a date night. I know it's probably going to be towards the end of the week. It's either going to be Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Guess what? On Thursday, Friday, or Saturday will be the night that I will just do it. That's all I have to think about. I know for me what my typical date night's going to look like. It's going to have some wine. Probably going to have some French fries. Like, that's it. I just don't make it a bigger deal than it has to be. I don't get all hosed up that I have to know exactly what day it's on, but my brain can already go to work on knowing that it's going to be Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So I don't even have to think about it until we get closer to time. And I just let him decide whatever works best for him. So I just wanted to say that because I think what happens is a lot of you guys kind of get like really hosed up and thinking this all has to be so black and white. I give you guidelines. I give you the four basics. I give you like all these parameters that make all of it easy, but it's up to you to customize and tailor all of this to fit your unique needs. So you're going to hear all of us giving you ideas and that kind of stuff. All of us coaches, more ideas on this as we go along. All right. We are going to do some coaching today. So let me tell you how today works. This is open coaching with me. We're going to go for about an hour, and then you just raise your hand. So if everybody will please right now take a look at your phone, take a look at your computer. If you don't want me to call on you, please put your hand down. Sometimes you guys accidentally hit that little hand raised button, and you don't want to be called on. And then we spend about a minute trying to figure out if you're on, if you're off, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to start calling on people. You get to get coached on whatever you want today. So today is not a themed call. I'll coach on whatever. Alrighty. Somebody's name is owner. So if you are owner, oh, here's the other thing. When you come on, please be in a quiet background. Like, let's not be in the middle of the grocery store, coffee shop, 4,000 kids running around, all the things. It really disrupts the replays. And don't be moving around. Y'all, I get so car sick. So even when you guys are moving around with your phone, it makes me a little nauseous. So just make sure that you're seated and ready to go. All right, let's do this. Owner, you're up first. Hello? You there?
Yep, I am.
All right.
I am.
Who am I actually talking to? Hi.
I'm sorry. My name is Raquel. I obviously messed up.
No, that's okay. Everybody put something different in, so it doesn't matter. It just said owner. So I was like, who's the owner? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm so glad to be able to talk to you. Thank you for this.
Oh, yeah.
So earlier in the week, or maybe it was end of last week, you coached someone and they had talked about saying no to themselves. And you had mentioned that that's one of the healthiest and one of the best things that you can do is to say no to yourself. And I can't stop thinking about that because I really struggle with that. And just a short little background, I am a caregiver by nature. My sister has cerebral palsy. My mom has health problems, so I care for them. I work in the medical field, so I'm caregiver at work. And so I really started thinking about what you said, and it's like, you know what, I think I don't say no to myself because I say yes to everyone else. And so when I want pizza,
I'm going to guarantee you say no a lot if you have to care for people all the time.
Why, that's true. I do say no to myself, but when it comes to food, I don't say no.
No, I'm not talking about saying no to yourself. Like, what if I came up to you and said, hey, girl, let's go party?
Oh, for sure, no.
So do you have times in your life where you absolutely prioritize and you say no to things knowing you've got to take care of your sister, you got to do this, you got to do that?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so you know how.
Yes.
And you're probably very skilled at it. Right now, though, your story is I'm not skilled at it because I'm a caregiver. I'm used to saying yes. You care for people rather than like everything is a thought. Mm-hmm. Telling yourself over and over again, I'm so used to saying yes and I'm not good at saying no to food. Guess what happens?
I don't say no to the food.
Right. You're not changing the identity of who you are. You're just going along for the ride of like, well, I keep saying yes to food. That must mean I am. Rather than I'm saying yes to food, I'm becoming someone who says no to myself because that's what the ultimate form of love is. That my saying yes, not self-care.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard because I think when I get to that point where it's like, I want pizza or I want, you know, like if I'm tired or I've emotionally spent and you had mentioned to the person, you were like, that's exactly when you do say no to the food, because that is self-care. And I just can't quite get over that chasm, I guess.
Right. It's because in the moment, it's going to feel hard. The problem is you think saying no to yourself in the moment is hard and it's not caring because you're tired when you need to tell the truth about what's happening in the moment. Hang on one second. Chris, the internet is unstable.
Oh, you froze up on me. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Hang on. I'll say it again. Hey, Chris. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't.
Hang on.
Okay.
Okay. So what I was saying is that what makes it hard, one, is that you're not retelling the story in the moment. I don't, like right now, the primary goal is not to quit eating. The primary goal is to quit telling yourself the story you're saying right now in the moment. We have to change that first. So in the moment of when you're going to eat pizza and you're tired, you cannot keep using your old excuse. So like, I want you to think about this is, That's step one in the process. Like, you want step one in the process to be, it's easy. Give me a thought. And then in the moment when I want pizza and I'm tired, I'm going to be like, no, Corinne has spilled all the wisdom and it will never be hard and shaky and restless and me feeling like I'm suffering. Right?
Okay, maybe, maybe.
Right. That's called everybody's wishful thinking. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in there is like, give her the thought. I'm going to write it down. Step one, though, is eat pizza with a new story. You have to tell yourself the truth in the moment. You cannot sit there and just say, well, I'm no good at this, or just fuck it. I've had a long day. I've been caring for everybody else. I just need this right now. I'm too tired. Mm-hmm. You need to make a list. So let's say step A1, the first one, you got to know exactly what bullshit you tell yourself. So you need to start tracking. This is why the discovery worksheet's so important, because it like says, like, you know, what were the things that you said in order to get you, you know, I forget what the exact wording in it, but it's along the lines of uncovering the excuses and justifications that we use. So step one is just being so aware of that language, so that then the next time when that happens and the pattern starts developing, the actual next step is, all right, I'm not going to deny myself the pizza, but now is the time to start telling myself the truth about why I'm eating. This is not self-care. I am not eating because I'm tired. I'm eating because I'm making a choice that does not go with my goals. Like, you have an honest conversation with yourself. The difference in the experience with the pizza, I mean, it may taste good and it may be quick and it may be easy, but right now the way you're doing it feels like relief. Like, it feels very soothing. It feels very comforting. It feels all these things. That is the exact wrong way we want to be doing that. Because what we know is the truth is it's not comforting you. It's not soothing you. Your thoughts that get you to eat are causing you to be comforted and soothed. The pizza is just a vessel. It's just food. It ain't doing jack shit. You could have the same thoughts like, oh, this steamed bag of broccoli is so much easier than calling pizza. I mean, like, you know, I just really need to have some broccoli. I can just feel in my colon that things are going to be, you know, wide ass open in 3 hours. I mean, you can have all of these comforting, soothing thoughts about it and eat broccoli and feel relief.
Wow. Okay.
That's why we have to. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's like you're speaking to my soul, because I mean, when you talked about the comfort and all of that, it's like that is exactly the way I describe food sometimes. It's a friend, it's comfort, it's distraction, it's, you know, all of those things. And you're right, it gives me exactly the opposite, because the shame and the guilt that I feel after I eat is so strong that I, you know, end up feeling that much worse.
If it's truly comforting, truly soothing, and truly doing all those things, it never has a back end consequence. That's how we know it's just a lie. It may feel very real to you because you've told yourself that story for so long, but just because something feels real doesn't make it real.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what we want to do is, so let me just change this to like one and two. Let's pretend this is number one, which is know thy excuses and your stories. Just whatever it is that you talk about and say, and like how you describe it and everything, that comes from the thought download, just doing journals about this stuff. I know that sounds very boring and unsexy, but I'm going to tell you, every addiction that I've ever given up and every kind of anything I've ever given up, there was probably 1,000 thought downloads and writings processing it. Okay. To this day, it's how I process all of the things. Step two is eat the pizza with the new story. None of you can afford the emotional price you're paying to keep telling yourself the same shit when you eat. So like, if you really want to lose weight long term and you really want to start making different choices, we have to get to where we tell the truth more than we do anything else. Now, what'll happen is it won't feel as relieving and it won't feel as comforting. Pizza will taste good, But now you're going to be stirring up your emotions. And then step three will be to continue to plan until the emotional stir and the story starts changing enough to where what will happen is pizza on a long day will be presented. You will have your old thought come in and you'll sit there and you'll look at it. You'll tell the new thought and it will be louder than this one was. And you'll be like, you know what? I want to just feel a little better. Even if it means not eating what I really want in the moment. You will start noticing that your brain will start having the conscious brain and the unconscious brain now start having dialogue and discussing and all the things. And your conscious brain, the more you allow it to come into play, the louder it gets and the more influence it starts having. You start realizing you actually have choices in the matter, that it's not just, you know, probably right now it's all happening so fast. It feels like it's just happening. It's why you feel like I just can't say no. You can't. Because you're not even giving it a different discussion.
Now, when you were talking about the thought downloads, I'm a new person in January. So the thought downloads, I've listened to your podcast and things, those you should be doing every day, almost like just journaling and getting, even if it's a negative or a positive, is that like almost being proactive?
Yeah, only if you'd like to solve all your problems should you do thought downloads.
Oh, okay.
If you love your problems and you want to keep them, don't do them.
Okay.
It's my best advice. I do one every day. Okay. At least one.
Wow.
Oh my God. Yeah, like this morning I did four. I mean, it's Sunday. I just got a lot to plan. I had to do thought downloads on my food for the week. I did a thought download on how I showed up for myself last week. I did a thought download on an idea that I have for all of you guys. And I did a thought download on like the week ahead of me, like all the things I've got to get done this week. So I did a thought download on that. And then I'm not joking. Right before I came on this call, I got a message and I was highly triggered. I was like, oh, this is a problem. Like I started panicking and I was like, I looked at Chris and I said, I'm not even going to be able to respond to this. I was like, I'm going to really need to do a thought download on this and get my mind straight before I even respond. So there'll be a fifth one that will go down today. Okay. But it's how I solve my problems. What a thought download does is it allows you to examine how you're currently thinking, decide if that's the thinking you would like to keep or not, get rid of some of the neurological junk that might just be in there, like, you know, like telling yourself, like, I don't know how to say no to myself. I'm pretty sure you know how to say no to yourself pretty damn well. We just need to now practice doing it with food. Yeah. You know, like when you say no to yourself when it comes to, I don't know, tell me something you routinely say no to yourself because you're going to take care of your sister.
Oh, gosh. Goodness. Well, going out with friends.
Okay. So I got to take care of my sister. I got to tell my friends no. So I'm going to say no to some social interaction for mm-hmm. me. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it because it's unfair to you or is it because you love your sister?
Because I love my sister.
Right. Just like now, when you're going to say no to yourself when you want pizza, rather than saying it's unfair and I'm too tired, now you start practicing. I know how to love my sister and say no to things I really want to do. I now want to love myself with the same type of, you know, energy and say no to myself to pizza. I already know how to do this.
Wow. Yeah.
It's literally all of how you think about things. Now, it doesn't make the moment you don't have the pizza amazing and fun and all the things, but you get used to it. The first few rides on that wild horse buck a lot. Eventually the horse gets used to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your time.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Keep us posted. Hey, and listen, before you start doing the thought downloads and stuff again, listen to, now that you've had this call, listen to phase two again. It will help it make a little bit more sense. Okay. And we also, have you listened to any of our model calls?
The model calls? No.
go through, we'll hook up a link in the show notes, but if you go, let me look and see on the website. So every month we do a call all about the model, where the coaches, they just go through models and they teach the model and stuff. So you could take a look at, I bet that would be super helpful. Do we have it? We don't have it listed here. I tell you what, MJ will, she'll search the website. But if you just go to Video Replays and type in the search bar, the model, you'll see where we have like thought downloads and more, introduction to the model and thought down. I mean, we just have all kinds of stuff in here.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Lisa, you're next. Guys, as I'm coaching people, here's what I want all of you doing. I want you figuring out how this is going to apply to you. And I want you to take notes. Very often you guys will raise your hand and you will want coaching on the exact same thing. Take notes. Never waste an opportunity when we're coaching to just sit back and just like, oh yeah. And then not like literally say like, okay, this applies to me in cheesecake, or this applies to me in this. And I might not have a sick sister, but I have a child, or I use my work as an excuse, whatever it is. Like I say yes to work all the time and I don't say yes to me. All right, I'm not sure if Lisa's coming on. So let's go to one Sandy. Sometimes people don't mean to have their thing. Lisa pops on, I'll get her next. All right, girl. How can I help you today?
Am I on? There I am.
There you are.
Okay.
Look at your track.
Very similar to DSB going down back there.
That's right. All right. You're very similar to our last girl.
Very similar. Competing priorities as well as compelling reason.
Okay.
So my compelling reason doesn't seem to be strong enough because I seem to be the one that always kind of.
This is not a problem. Everybody, please repeat after me. My compelling reason is to do nothing but help me see the path I'm supposed to go in and just to be there to think about. It does not stop overeat and make better choices for you. Like everybody, like if y'all keep hanging on to the idea, like my compelling reason must not be strong enough. That's like saying I overate because of my compelling reason. He made me.
Right.
That's crap.
So what's happening is that I have some competing priorities, like, you know, most of us do. And I have
an example.
A lot more responsibility at work. Okay. So in May, my boss retired and her husband retired. They both worked for the same company. And I was given his job on top of my job and part of her job. And I was pushed up into senior management with a new boss who, I'm struggling to connect with after 20 years with one person, learning new personalities. And there's a lot more pressure on me. I have a lot of people. I have over 30 people. And some of their jobs are literally depending on me to do a good job. So I've put a lot of pressure on myself, probably. Okay. But it's important.
What is pressure? It's an emotion.
Right. I want to make sure I'm performing.
And where does pressure go in the model?
It's a thought.
No, it's a feeling.
A feeling.
So can we just say now 1,001% of the time that any pressure felt, it's never put on me.
Right. No, I'm putting it on myself for sure.
Yeah. This is such a clear, like, I just want to remind like you, but everybody, like you talked about it as if, and there's all this pressure now on me. One little shift in your thinking just to kind of help you keep some balance and reality as to what's actually going on is right. I keep thinking pressure is put on me. Pressure is always put on by myself. Like really just understanding that allows you to open the space to be like, well, if I am doing all this pressure, then I must be the one responsible for feeling differently than I'm feeling now. Otherwise you're going to need the old boss to come back, plus his wife, all the duties split out, because if all of that's causing the pressure, all of that has to change. you don't have change at all.
Right.
And that's not happening.
But I want to. I think is where I have the competing priorities.
So what is the compete? So why can't you do all of that and lose weight? Like, what does that have to do with what you put in your mouth?
It doesn't. I lose my desire to work on me when I'm putting all of my energy into my work. So at the end of the week,
go ahead.
Okay. When at the end of the week, I'm tired and I just stop caring. I'm like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine where I'm at.
All right. So you don't stop caring though. You have excuses that come flying in.
Right.
You know how I know you don't stop caring?
Because I'm on this call.
Yeah, it's Sunday. And you're on this call. Obviously you care. You just want to eat on my treadmill. Because of all the pressure you put on yourself all week long. It's not a competing priority.
Right.
A competing priority would be your job. And let's say you've got to work 90 hours a week and you've decided to train for a marathon and you need to train for 20 hours a week. That's a competing priority.
Right.
You know what we have right now?
A bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. A mismanaged mind. That somehow food's solving, that weekend eating is going to solve for all the pressure you're putting on yourself all week long.
So, thought downloads?
For sure.
I feel like everybody needs a piece of me and I can wait.
But can you wait?
I mean, yeah, I can.
Okay.
I mean, it's
and
not
keep waiting, but do you like
to move forward?
Right.
So I'm really good at maintenance.
Well, you quit saying that. Just say I suck at maintenance. You know why? I'm not where I want to be. I'm not maintaining right. Shit. I would maybe say I'm good at delaying my dreams. Right. Doing that all the time. Like, tell the truth. I would never say I'm good at maintenance. Does that even feel good? Because unless you're at the weight you want to be, it probably doesn't feel really good.
No.
It's like uncovering all of the unhelpful thoughts you're using against yourself right now. You are acting as if you have no choice. You're the only one that has a choice. But you're pretending you have none.
Even when I recognize that it's a choice, I don't seem to care enough to change it.
Why should you? You just got through telling me you're really good at maintaining. You're not worth, I don't even remember the other question, your other statement. Everybody wants a piece of me. And what was the thing you said?
I can wait.
Yeah, and I can wait. Well, it's no wonder in the moment. I mean, if that's the way you're going to think all week about yourself, no, you're not going to prioritize you. If you start prioritizing yourself, in your mind, what's going to happen? Like, what has to suffer at work in order for you to just eat healthy?
My reputation.
Your reputation has to suffer to eat healthy.
If I'm not working hard enough, it's my reputation.
But to eat healthy, and eating healthy is going to take how many hours away from you at work?
It's not the eating healthy. I actually think I do okay. I mean, I don't go face
down. But you're not losing weight.
I don't want to try that hard. I'm tired.
But so why are you constructing it as hard is my question.
No,
like, I want you to think about how you're
just. You could model all day on this shit.
Yeah, I know, but I just want you to just see, like, you are so determined that your life is a problem. That you're creating faux problems.
It's funny. Because I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a choice. And the choice I'm making is to put everybody in front of me.
Okay, let's go back to this work thing. Okay. All right. So we're going to lose some weight this week.
Okay.
All right. And how many hours are we working? 80, 90, 100, 120? How many hours a week are we working?
I mean, we're probably working about 70.
70 hours a week. All right. Let's do some math. So how many hours a day is that?
I usually do about 10 hours a day.
And you work 7 days a week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have 10 hours a day. And how many hours a day are you sleeping?
At least eight.
So that's 18. So 24 minus 18. So we have 6 hours a day to lose weight. We have 6 hours a day for Sandy.
Okay.
What are we doing in the six?
We're doing, you know, fun stuff like laundry, dishes.
Okay, so laundry and dishes is probably, what, an hour a day?
Right.
So now we have 5 hours a day for Sandy. Like Sandy time. What else are we doing?
A lot of P&P. Okay. We do listen to a lot of the coaching calls.
That I'm very impressed.
You are my commute companion.
Well, good. So you're making good use of your time.
Yeah.
Okay. So in all of this studying, and we've got like 5 hours a day, every single day, that you can be thinking luscious things about Sandy, thinking about how you can make weight loss easy, thinking about how like you're showing up like a baller at work, grateful that you've been promoted and all this other stuff. I'm going to assume that the 5 hours a day are not filled with those thoughts just based on our conversation.
Yeah.
They're probably filled with this.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of you're not good enough.
Yeah. My reputation's going to suffer if I lose weight is a terrible thought right now.
Yeah. It's a really stupid thought.
I just want to know, like, when you, like, during the week, so are, let me just get this constructed. So when you have, and no thought is stupid. So rather than shaming yourself, because I can't even let that one go by. Like, I not go down every rabbit hole with you guys, but we're going down. We have thoughts that work and that get us traction towards where we want to go, and we have thoughts that don't. This is just one of your neurological junk thoughts that pops up, like there's certain thoughts that are stupid or whatever. No, it's something that you haven't even considered that's not working for you. That's the benefit of getting on a call, is you get to get somebody to point out, like, I just don't think that one's going to work long term. That's what the thought downloads do. Like the power of a thought download and putting things through a model,
mm-hmm.
then like a rule. Like maybe if I, you know, if I'm going to sit around and think that my reputation is going to suffer if I try to lose weight. And then when I ask, well, how's that going to happen? And you're like, well, it's just so hard and I have to put so much energy into it. I don't think you do. I mean, if you're going to do my plan, it shouldn't take time or a lot of energy at all. It should be super simple, but I want to know what you're doing through the week because you're not doing my plan. You're doing Sandy's bastardized version. That's probably driven from neurological junk instead of the words that came out of my mouth. So tell me what, because if you're feeling pressure, I guarantee you, you are creating a pressure-filled weight loss week. Otherwise, on the weekend, it would be your respite. And not something you have to run from. You would, I'm going to tell all of you right now, you're doing it wrong if on the weekends you need to run from what you're doing. So tell me about your, tell me about how healthy eating through the week is looking for you.
I do really good with meal prep on Sunday.
Okay.
You enjoy it. I try to go low carb, not no carb. I have added back in some stuff.
Why?
Because I'm the type that if I eat bread too often, like I can eat a sandwich and gain 3 pounds. Like I just, it causes bloating and I don't feel great. I do feel better when I go low carb, but I try to eat natural. So, yeah.
Okay, of course. That's working.
Thin crust pizza last night. That's what it was. Followed by a piece of pie. So,
why don't we just plan for some fucking carbs during the week for about 3 weeks and see what happens? Let's just see if we actually gain weight with carbs or if we are low carbing and losing water, thinking we're losing weight, depleting our muscles of glycogen all week long, and then eating pizza and bullshit, and then like, oh my God, see, it proves the rule. I gain weight when I do this. It's so horrible. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why you ain't losing weight is because you're binging on the weekend on bullshit and lying to yourself all week long that you need to eat low carb. I bet you $1,000 you do not need to eat low carb. I think you need to learn how to have a relationship with carbs.
Yeah.
And you don't even know. The way you're doing it's not the way that we learn if we really have a carb intolerance. Like 5% of women have a carb intolerance. 95% of women actually lose weight better when they're eating carbs because that's the way the woman's body is actually designed. The newest research has thrown all of that out the window. It's just going to take a long time. You remember how like we all did low fat forever and it took a fucking Bible and like the second coming of Jesus to get people to realize that fat wasn't bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
That was carried over from the 80s. And it was literally in the late 2000s when we first started debunking it. Or it was debunked, but before we'd even start believing it. Yeah, the whole keto thing, it's going down the tubes. It's being debunked regularly for the last 5 years. But you guys hang on to it tooth and nail.
Yeah, I tried adding in, since I joined PMP, you know, more natural bananas and fruit and potatoes. And, you know, I'm trying to go by that if it comes from the earth.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you, here's the thing that I'm on a tangent, but everybody needs to hear this because all you guys want to eat, like, I know all of you sit around and research keto like it's nobody's business. Bananas and the natural carbs that you guys are, well, but it's the natural ones. Do you know that your body processes them exactly the same as it would bread, white rice, and all the other things? It sees it as a carbohydrate. It doesn't know that it was Wonder Bread versus a banana or a potato. It doesn't. And if it really was going to like solve all your health issues, you would not eat it on the weekends. I think you're just telling yourself that so that you can put pressure on yourself to lose weight all week long until you hit Friday when you've been suffering and in your mind at work and suffering in your weight loss during the week. Otherwise, you would not want to run from yourself on the weekend. Don't try to lose weight in a way that requires you to run from it. Just don't even do that to yourself. It's not fair. I love that you food prep. Just have a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's just say we're just going to do, like, let's just say you're just going to, like, you've probably already done your food prep today. It's probably too late for sandwiches this week, right?
No, I actually haven't because I'm off tomorrow. So Monday food prep this week.
All right. Well, we have a chance. If we were to lose weight easy this week, what would we be doing? So we probably still do food prep because, you know, I'm a big fan of it. You sound like a big fan of it.
Yep. Yeah, I've been doing that forever.
Okay. So if you were going to lose weight easy this week, where you felt like by the weekend you weren't going to need to just eat all the things so that you can relax and have a little fun since you get none of that during the week, what would you be doing?
God, I honestly don't even know. Like, I don't even know. It's 30 years of diet mentality.
Yeah, but let's just guess. Let's see what this losing weight easy looks like, and then you'll try it, and it either will be easy or it won't. And then you get to do that again next week until you morph into the version you want to be.
I hate that I'm crying on this.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Everybody. I know. I just did my makeup.
One crier, then I feel like I've done my job for the day.
Well, I'm making a big pan of chicken and rice tomorrow for dinner.
Okay.
And we're doing Mexican tonight, so leftovers during the week for dinner.
Okay.
Lunch, I like to do like a spinach salad because that's super easy to prep and take with me.
Okay.
Breakfast is usually just coffee, sometimes oatmeal. I have those like little packs of peanut butter if I need a, if I skip breakfast and I'm hungry around 10, I'll have something like that to hold me over till lunch. But that's, I mean, that's kind of a basic week.
Do you like it though? That's the question.
It's fine.
I mean, it's fine.
Is that what if I wasn't dieting, would I still be eating that? Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Because that's, I lost 75 pounds in my early 30s and I've gained about 30 of that back. And so I was the chicken and broccoli queen for lunch every day for 10 plus years. So I'm still in that type of mentality a lot. It's the, let's go get fast food on the weekend, or we're going to go out to eat. And so I'm not going to have a salad at a restaurant because I feel like, you know, we're going out, I should be able to have whatever I want. And that's where it kind of falls apart.
I think that's a thought that you need to like really look into. I should be able to have whatever I want. Says to me that you're spending a lot of your time having nothing that you want. Like a really good, interesting exercise for you, and this will be hard. If you were going to design your life right now, how would you design it to where it would be what you want rather than just what you're saying you're stuck with? Like when you look at work, you're thinking about like your hours and all the things. I'm not saying you have to like stop working 10 hours a day, but how can you be there because you want to in your mind versus it's a have to? How can you show up 100% like a boss lady because you want to, not because you're afraid of what other people will think about your reputation? Because everything that you just told me completely flew in the face of the original thought of losing weight and eating, or I guess it was losing weight is going to like damage my reputation at work. If I prioritize my weight loss, I'm going to damage my reputation at work. That is just some crap. You're already eating in a way that can lose weight while you're at work. It's your weekend eating. How is you figuring out how to eat in a way that you enjoy on the weekend going to damage your reputation is the question.
Yeah. Because when I really sit and think about it, my whole life is a have to. And it's not because I don't want to, but because I'm a special needs son. Mm-hmm. So I have to work.
No, you don't.
He needs my medical insurance.
You choose to prioritize your son is a way better way of thinking about that.
Sorry, you froze on me.
Okay. You don't have to. Again, this is one of those thoughts that you all will argue with me about tooth and nail. If you're going to go and get insurance for your special needs son, why would you ever, ever tell yourself it's because I have to. Why don't you just say, like, I'm just diminishing my love for my child. And this is making it all dirty and nasty. I'm going to tell you right now, when I work on Sundays, I never think, well, I have to because of Logan and his special needs. I have to show up. I do it because I want to. I want to give him everything I possibly can because I love him. Just like you show up at your job every single day to collect that insurance because you love him so much. If you walk in that every day thinking about that versus, I have to be here again today, it's just such a shit douche-wide thing to do to yourself. And it's an option. That is a choice in your thinking.
You're right.
I mean, this is when we talk about pressure. Like, I have to blank. I could bring every one of you guys on this call right now, and you could tell me your list of I have to's, and I could tell you how you are shitting on yourself with this thought time and time again, because that puts on pressure. And then here's how we show up. Like an ass to ourselves on the weekend, because at some point this has got to be relieved. And then your result line becomes, I have to settle for what I give myself. When you start re-engineering how you show up in your life, in your brain, you start taking credit for being an amazing mother, someone who can handle three jobs. Not one time did you tell me, like, I would have loved it if you came up and you just said, you know what? Let me tell you about my life. I do the work of three people. It's amazing. Not many people can do that. I do it. I show up like a boss all the time. I've got this special needs kid. There's no way in hell I would ever not have let him have insurance. Some people do that. That is not me.
Yep.
Decide the story you're going to tell yourself every single week, Sandy. I would say, keep on eating the way you're eating. Sounds very healthy. Sounds very good. Maybe throw a sandwich in there every now and then for fun. Shits and giggles. But every Sunday, I would write the story of Sandy for the week. I would do that as part of your, like, weekly prep. Like, before you do your food prep, do your mental prep. This is the story of Sandy this week. Here are the things that I've always told myself I have to, but here's the new story. Let your brain see both are an option. Eventually, it will start choosing the one that feels really good. Because they're both true. You just have to decide what truth you want to tell.
I hear you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think that's going to help you with your weekends more than anything. Okay? Forget compelling reasons and competing priorities. Just drop all that language out. Just be focused on the story of Sandy. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Oh my God, I would bet my life she's going to go have a good cry. Like, if she hadn't already had one. But I think it would be very relieving to just, you know, I'm going to tell all of you, like, it is so hard for us sometimes when we are, like, and I just want to, like, really say this. It can be so hard to just take credit for your life. When you are used to not doing that, it's like you got to practice it. You're already practicing telling one story. Now we have to practice telling a new one. And you can kind of see, like, she just needs it. Like, she just is, like, so used to finding what's wrong with her that, like, every avenue that we went down, she was like, but my diet mentality and this, and then my son. It, like, her brain is just like, but I'm wrong. Basically, I'm just not good enough. And now let me count the ways. I think it's really important for all of us to realize when we're doing this to ourselves. And it's uncomfortable at first. No, it will not feel real. It will not feel believable when you first do this stuff, guys, but I'm going to promise you, as you do it, it becomes more real. The only way that it ever becomes more real is when you guys are willing to go all in on retelling the story. You cannot hurt yourself doing it. You are already hurting now. You are already in pain now. Going all in, and you're probably tired and exhausted. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, she did not look like she was like super recharged by all of her crappy thinking. Like, do not tell me that changing your thoughts makes you tired and exhausted. I don't give a shit. Go to bed tired, becoming the new version of you. Quit going to bed tired, hating the one you have. All right, Jody? Hi, Jody.
Hey, just a second. I'm getting the video. There, can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. Are you in your closet?
Okay. Yes. I was going to say, you're probably going to laugh because I'm literally in my closet. Like, I wanted to find a quiet place and not be interrupted by my son. So this is where I am.
I will just tell you, I have coached many people from their closets. Some people go sit in their car.
That's awesome. Luckily, mine. Yeah, I was going to do that. Luckily, mine has like a vanity and a chair and everything. So it's actually comfortable.
Good. All right. Well, what are we coaching on today?
So just a little backstory. I joined in June and I've lost almost 40 pounds.
How much?
I will be in Century Club 40.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't even know what I thought you said. Go ahead.
Anyway, I will be in Century Club someday, one way or another.
Yeah. You know, you have a little flag.
Ooh, I'll hang it in my closet.
That's right. Where it all changed.
Right? So, I've noticed, I mean, I've done a lot of thought work. I've been able to tackle a lot of thoughts. But there's one that like keeps coming back and I'm having a problem coming up with my intentional model over it.
Okay.
So, the one that keeps coming up is, so the thought that keeps coming up is that my husband doesn't help enough with my 2-year-old son. And I know it's just a thought, but like I said, I'm having a hard time coming up with my intentional thought over it. And it's one of those things where it's like,
just a minute.
Sure.
So let me just teach you what usually happens. So if you have a thought like my husband doesn't help enough with my 2-year-old and you're coming up with an intentional thought that doesn't stick or doesn't feel real, or it's just like, whatever. I mean, yeah, of course, if I, you know, thought this, I'd feel this, blah, blah, but you don't, right? Is that what's happening, or you just have no idea on an intentional thought?
Well, I thought that I had done an intentional model on it before and that I just wasn't believing it. But then I looked back at my journaling and I hadn't done one, which makes me think maybe I just have never been able to come up with one that I feel like I can, that is the truth for me, or that I can believe, I guess.
Well, tell me why it's a problem. Why not just be like, I'm going to do all the work.
So, what I put down, I did an unintentional model this morning. And I put as my thought, one of my thoughts is, it's not fair. And I feel like that's probably the biggest one that is really hosing me. Is thinking that it's not
so
fair.
So what would be fair? Tell me what happens. Like, I do these things and, you know, tell me like.
Well, like an example is this morning, my son got up at 6 and I'm almost always the one to get up with him unless I've like made prior arrangements, like sick or it's Mother's Day and I'm like, hey, can you get up with them tomorrow? So this morning I was just really tired. So like I went and got him and I brought him back in bed with us. And my husband was like, well, I was going to go back to sleep. Why don't you take him in the living room? And I was like, why don't you take him in the living room? And he was like, well, I wanted to go back to sleep. I was like, so did I. But
so he didn't what?
He didn't like offer, well, sure, I'll take him to go in the living room this morning and like what I wanted.
Right. You wanted him to, but why would you even expect him to? I mean, has he ever given you any evidence that he's going to be the kind that says, hey, I think I'm just going to change today and be different?
No. And I think it goes back to the thought of it's not fair, you know? And I know a big thing with me is like fairness. And then also how you're saying is expectations. So I'm like, but how do I stop having these expectations?
Well, let me ask you this. Outside of first thing in the morning, when you're both exhausted and fucking tired and the 2-year-old's up way too early, when have you had mm-hmm. conversations with your husband around how you want things to go? Like, you know what, from now on, here's what I want. Like,
well,
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you wake up, and these days I wake up.
Yeah. So we have had some talks, not about waking up in the morning, but just about us both having some time where we can be alone without being responsible for a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of said like on the weekends, each of us can have like 2 to 3 hours to do whatever it is we want to do.
Okay.
But then, which I was fine with, and I thought that was great. But then whenever the weekend comes, he's always like acting upset to have, or like put out that he's having to take care of him.
Okay, why can't he just be upset and put out? You're upset and put out with him this morning that you had to take care of the 2-year-old. It's not a far stretch to think that, you know, like, do you,
that's true.
Here's where your pain is. I not only want you to do the things that you don't want to do, but you need to have a fucking smile on your face to boot.
I know.
Like, I need you to be happy with doing things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what he wants you to do, right? He's like, you know what I really want? I want you to do all the 2-year-old stuff, and I want you to love every minute of it, Jody. And I want you to love me as I don't do any of it.
Yeah.
Why not just let him
I can see.
Like, but it won't be near as much fun, but I'm at it, big boy.
So you're saying just let him be upset, but go and do my thing anyway, and without thinking, like, why was he upset? We agreed to this. And because I always, like, if I do end up leaving to do my time alone, then I'm always, like, feeling kind of sassy about it. Like, well, I'm going to go have my time anyway.
What's wrong with, like, here's what I'm saying. You're getting what you want. You now you just want him mm-hmm. to put a bow on it and smile and be, like, happy to do what he doesn't want to be doing. He's like, I'm mm-hmm. a willing participant, but just don't expect me to be thrilled about it.
Okay.
And your thing is like, so now you're getting exactly what you want, which is me time. And then you're going and sitting around destroying your own me time, thinking how he now needs to show up in a whole different way. It's like, you need him to have, like, you probably should just type up a rule book at this point. It would make it way easier for him to figure out how to make you happy if you just give it to him, you know, 3-hole punch, beautiful bound, maybe put it in a leather binder.
That's true.
But like even this morning, I've just been like, of course, no one wants to get up with a 2-year-old early on a Sunday morning. It's ridiculous of me to think that he should want to do this. That's where your frustration and your pain comes from, rather than just laying there and just being like, one of us has to get up.
Yeah.
It may be
me. I feel like with me, I think part because even if I'd like, neither one of us wants to get up, I feel like I'm always the one who will give in first.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. You have to take ownership. Like, I'm not giving, you know, I'm the one that chooses.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame him for you deciding to do what you do. That's what causes you pain.
That's true.
If you're going to get up with your 2-year-old, then just be like, all right, one of us has to be an adult. It will be me. Take ownership of it.
Yeah.
And then have a conversation. Yeah. If you want to, like, you know, we're going to swap out every now and then. Like, if you want to just say to the husband, hey, I got up with the kid this morning. Next time this happens, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to expect you to get up with him. You okay with that? And then when it's time on Sunday morning and everybody's fucking tired and 2-year-old's like, let's play. Don't expect it. Like, when you say, go with him, and like, well, I thought you would. And be like, nope, that was me last time, babe. I'm going back to sleep. And let him be angry and grouchy and let him have his experience. Eventually, he will figure out he needs to be, when he gets up, he can either get up grouchy or he can get up and play.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but he's never going to get there unless you start letting him have his own experiences without you interfering with your own experience, expecting him to think differently.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that can probably, I'm going to go back and listen to this later because I feel like that could probably help me in a variety of other issues that we have with each other.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue in relationships is that it's like, I want you to do certain things. And one hoser thought is, it's fair. There's no fairness in marriage. There's no equal split, 50-50. No. All that's a bunch of hoo-shit, like bullshit. I guarantee you that if I had a side conversation with your husband behind your back, I was like, come on, who really is who's the one that does everything around here? He'd be like, she thinks she does because she gets up with that kid and stuff. That's easy. She's probably in there watching cartoons. You know what I do? And he would have his list of ways it's unfair and how he's like really shouldering everything. Everybody always has a construct in their mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with going to your spouse and saying, here's how I would like for you, you know, here's the things I would love for you to do and blah, blah, blah. And we can split things. None of that's a problem, but just always know that if they're not doing it naturally, when you ask for it, it's probably because you're asking for things that they don't want to be doing to begin with. And having an expectation that they should want to because you want them to, that's where you get hosed. I'm fine with Chris never wanting to do any of the shit that I want to do. I love it when he's just a willing participant, even when he's upset. Just like, yeah, but I'm having a good time. I don't give a damn what you're thinking right now. Woohoo for me.
Yep. Yeah. And I need to work on that too. Just, you know, if he is a willing participant, not being like, are you upset right now? Are you not having fun? Just be like, sweet, I got my way. let's live our lives.
You know? The hilarious part is you'll be like, but they'll actually say yes to doing whatever it is you want them to do. And then you're like, and are you upset? And then when they say yes, you're like, fuck. Like, because don't ask a question that you don't want the honest answer to. Think about how ridiculous we are. Like, let me ask you a question that I for fuck sure know you're going to answer in a way that I'm just going to get pissed about.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we're so upset all the time. I'm like, I don't know. All right. Now that I've solved this.
Okay, well, thank you, Corinne, and I'll speak. Right. Well, thank you, and I will see you at Don't Stop Me. I'm coming this year.
Oh, you are? Oh, so good. This is going to be such a good race.
Yes.
I can't even, y'all don't even know.
This yeah, I'm excited.
It's going to be good. It's going to be so good. All right. Talk to you later.
Yay. See you then. Thank you. Bye.
There's weekly Don't Stop Believing calls with Coach MJ. She's doing coaching and Q&As. There's all kinds of Don't Stop Believing going on. Actually, yesterday was the last day to register, but I haven't taken the buttons down. So if anybody wants to register for Don't Stop Believing, you literally can get in today because I will not be able to take buttons down until it'll be this evening because I have calls literally all the way through 5 or 6 o'clock tonight. So just so you guys know. All right, Lisa, let's try you again. I think you tried last time and it didn't go through. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you? What are we coaching on?
Well, I'm a January newbie.
Okay.
And I'm trying to not get overwhelmed by all the things that you have available, like the Netflix of weight loss. So I've been listening to the No BS. I've been doing my 24-hour plans a little bit here and there. I work in breast. I take care of breast cancer patients. I'm a PA. And the caller before last, we were talking about pressure. I love my job. I love caring for women with breast cancer. It's very fulfilling, but I think I'm starting to get threads of, at times, caregiver burnout. And so what I've noticed is that at the end of clinic, when I'm done seeing my patients, I will overeat. And if I'm really exhausted, like this weekend, I just went off the rails and,
why?
Had a binge and, exhaustion is what comes up in my head, but that's not really a thought.
Right. I want to know, why did you choose to eat? In the moment, why did you choose to eat?
Relief.
Relief
from I think, I feel like sometimes I just give all myself to my patients or my family, and I feel like the dopamine hit of some chocolate would temporarily make it feel better.
So what do you need to feel better about? I mean, you're a very giving person. Why do you need to I really need to, get relief from being a very given person.
I like that part of me. I really do.
Right. So then why are you eating over it? That's the question. It ain't that. Cause you're trying to make, this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to do like everybody does. My job makes me eat. How do I fix that? Quit.
I don't want to quit.
Right. So we have to quit lying that the job is causing the eating.
Right. The job is not causing. I'll start on my pity pop moment in my head and say, life is hard. Your work is hard. You're full-time working mom. You know, you're taking in your mother-in-law who now lives with, it's like, I start going through my little pity pot thing and then I'm like, okay, food will make me feel better.
So let's just sit from what though? So we're back to blaming our circumstances.
Yep.
You have food, right? And you've got job, mother-in-law. What else have we got? Kids.
Kid with ADHD. Mm-hmm.
Kid with ADHD, which none of this means jack shit.
Yeah, I know.
That's all it is. And you're in your mind is like, you know what? All of this makes me eat. No.
Well, that's what I'm trying to. So in the moment, like, what is the magic thought?
There's no magic thought. It is not, y'all, all of you need to hear this. This is the problem you're having. And I'm really glad you said it like this, because I don't think that anybody's quite articulated it to allow me to think this. You guys think that there's this magic thought in the moment. It's like, bam, and food. No. You know what's happening? All fucking week you've got thoughts about this, and at some point you get emotionally wore out from your own bullshit, mismanaged brain around all of this. Yeah, food becomes a really good option. You're piling all week long, and eventually yeah. it collapses. There's no magic thought. That's why you guys have to quit reaching and being like, Corinne, give me a compelling reason. Corinne, what's the one thought? No. The only way that you're not going to turn to food is to quit setting yourself up to need to turn to food by not acknowledging all of this. What is wrong with all of this stuff?
Nothing.
No, there is, because you're eating over it. So what is it?
It feels like I can't do it all. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed that I can't do it all.
I can't do all this.
I can't do it well.
I can't do it well.
I can't do all this. Right.
But are you?
I can't do it well. Yes. I show up for work. I show up for my kid. I show up for my mother-in-law. Yeah. And I'll come back to myself. So why aren't you showing up for you? I don't get an answer.
You are showing up for you. This is the lie that all of you tell yourself. All of this showing up for them is for you. You know why? You know how I know this? Because you're doing it.
Why? What?
Because you're doing it.
Yep.
Like, all right, let's do this. Put the kids at home, shove the mother-in-law out, quit the job.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Why? Why are you not doing that?
Because I love all those things.
Right.
But
so that's for you.
I do love.
I show up for all this for me because I love these people and I love my job. You're not telling yourself that though. You're saying, I can't do all this well. I can't handle all this. It's too much.
At moments, I don't tell myself that. Right. Right. There are moments I try, because I haven't gotten through the phase two part, but I, you know how you said you could just do gratitude. So I've been doing the gratitude part of it. And for the most part, I feel very blessed every day. But then there's times where like I had a really crappy day at work because I got chewed out because I was there. It's just emotionally exhausting. And then I was like,
that's not emotionally exhausting. Your thought, someone chewed me out, is. Like, even that thought right there, I got chewed out. How's that feel?
Crappy.
Right. More pressure. More over.
Yeah.
Rather
than yes.
Boss's words, sentences that come out the boss's mouth, or patient's mouth, whoever's chewing you out, right?
Yeah, patient, yeah.
All right. Patient says, you're the worst nurse I've ever had in my entire life. I wish you would drop dead right now.
Oh my God.
That's the kind of emails I get. You don't talk about getting some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how I have an ass left. Like, could y'all just chew a little more?
Right. I see women at their most vulnerable. You know, they're told they have breast cancer and you get a whole slurry of emotions. They're pissed at you, but I know it's not me.
Except for when you say, I just got chewed out. That's when you've made it all about you and you've made it yep. nothing about them. That's when you've decided to put I'm not doing this well.
Right.
If you think that someone, when they're told breast cancer, they've had breast cancer or whatever's happened in their world, right? The moment you make it about yourself is the moment you feel terrible rather than patient has words, whatever that string of sentences is. You know what the thought could be?
Yep.
I'm glad she told me. She probably feels better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what this job's all about. that is not what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's finding, I want you to listen to phase two. You want to get out of overwhelm, learn how to not be overwhelmed anymore. That is phase two of no BS. Phase two is all about how we think.
Okay.
And one of the things that I think you're going to need.
I got on the scale.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I kind of was going to have a real bad pity pot and just kind of say F it. But I got on the scale. I did my Hello Scale thing. I did my weekly plan. I'm just trying to get myself back on track from. And I was having the last few weeks been good, but then the end of this week, I overate and yep.
I'm going to tell you, that's all it is for all of you. Whenever you feel like it's overwhelmed, like if here's how you know that you need to figure out, all right, if I know when I'm overeating can't be about my circumstances in life. It has to be something it's always something you're thinking 1000% of the time.
Yes. I have a post-it note at work and at my desk at home about, you know, this feeling of overwhelm is a thought that I'm thinking. And I know there's something about a 90-second countdown and then do one small thing. I have it. It's like in the moment trying to pull from that.
Yeah. This is what I would do.
Yeah.
And you'll listen to the no BS. You'll kind of hear some of this stuff is in the moment. A lot of you guys aren't ready to slow it down in the moment yet. You're so desperate. Mm. Like just, I don't want to be overeating and I don't want to be doing these things. That's not the process.
Mm-hmm.
The process is understanding your thoughts and feelings, because the moment you get to where you understand the things you're thinking that are driving all of this, you start hearing those in the moment, and then your conscious brain is allowed to start thinking differently about things, to making a different choice. Because mm-hmm. in the moment, what's going to have to happen is on a Tuesday, when a patient says a lot of things about you, all her sentences, you have to mm-hmm. think differently then. So that on Friday, when you want to eat because of a long week, your week is not as long because you haven't been making it longer for yourself all week long. You've not been piling so much. So pizza or chocolate or whatever, normally
it does feel like piling.
It is. It's exactly what most of you are doing. That's why the weekends always tend to be the time when most people, will overeat and stuff, is because during the week, you've got work, you got all these things, but you're not managing your mind around all the things you're doing during the week. You're just like, I'm doing so good. I'm just sitting here still eating healthy, yet you're feeling like shit all week. And then on the weekend, when you get away from all the stuff that you have these thoughts about that are shitty, you're left with food and an empty mind. And your empty mind is like, oh my God, you know what a long week we've had? This really sucked and blah, blah, blah. Here's all the ways that you're terrible. Like it goes berserk on judgment. And then you eat because you know what you're doing? Shutting down the judgment. What I want you to do is to practice in different ways all week long, not piling on. Like just for a second, I want you to imagine if during the week, let's say like every day you had a patient just give it to you. I don't know how often they're like chewing you out. Well, let's pretend it's daily.
Okay.
And every single day on week one, you're just like, I'm just not doing a good job. I don't even know if I can handle all this. This is too much. I just wish they wouldn't say these things, blah, 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 blah. If you just kind of like did that every single day, all day, that's what I call that low level suffering. And the week's over, what do we want to do? Eat.
Ease the suffering. Yeah.
Yeah. Get away from it. Because by Friday, you've got a week's worth of evidence in your brain as to how terrible you are. You've been just telling yourself that all week long. So on Friday, when there's no job to busy you, but there's the food, you're just like,
yep,
we got to get away from this. But let's pretend we're on week two. And we're going to go to Corinne's school of thinking.
Okay.
Every single day, the patients are telling you all the things, terrible, you don't change my diaper, like all, whatever they're telling you, right? And you're just like, this is part of the caregiver's job. When they're having their worst day, I'm here to make it easier. I can be their target because this is not about me. They have cancer. Of course they're upset. It's easier to be mad at me than to be mad at your family. Whatever you tell, like, you reconstruct the story all week long. So all week long, you're just, it's never about you. It's about how you can just get to the moment some peace of mind. How does Friday
feel? And then at the end of the week, I don't feel like, better.
Then you have what we call emotional currency for when chocolate and pizza is presented to itself. You go up against that with feeling better about you.
Yeah.
And being able to just plan and just have some food when you want it and not when you don't plan for it. It becomes easier because you actually have the problem I want you to see. You'll listen when you listen to the Nobius Phase 2, you'll hear this. But the problem is that we only have so much emotional bandwidth, like every day. And most of us are tapping out with a lot of mismanaged mind thoughts, like they're chewing me out. Like my life is a problem. Yeah. Like a thought, like all of this makes me eat. Rather than being like, why would I ever need to eat over this stuff? What are the things that I'm thinking about each one of these things individually that maybe I need to think differently about? It's like my girl that was talking about, her son, I think her son had autism, special needs. I can't remember if she said special needs or autism.
Yeah.
I was like, all week long, you're telling yourself you have to be there or you're going to lose the insurance your child needs. Yeah. That's going to probably feel very heavy by Saturday. I'd want to eat rather than, I just love my kid. I would do anything for my kid.
Yeah, I think trying to manage some of these thoughts, because it is emotionally draining, but it if you change the thought about it, like, I have a privilege to work with women and to be there for them. I'm a kick-ass mom and I advocate for my kid and we take care of family. And I love that my mother-in-law moved in with me. That probably will not make me feel so tapped out by Friday.
Yeah. But you have to tell that story a lot though. I think like remembering to, like when you go do phase two, we talk about the thought downloads. You know, sometimes writing that, like at the first of the week, write the story of you. Just like when, like one of the things I would offer for all of you that have like special needs kids, especially, you know, we tend to create a story around our child, like it's hard and we have to, like, you know, we got to fight for all their whatever and blah, blah, blah. I never think about stuff like that. I realized a long time ago how emotionally draining it is. And it makes me feel like a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes my job being a mommy way harder than it needs to be. It's like, I have a child.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I'm going to try to find the best stuff for him, just like any mom would. I don't make mine so much harder than somebody else's just because we have a label.
Yeah.
I try to take the temperature down all the time around all the stuff. And so like remembering, like when you are, let's say you have to go to an IOP meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That is the exact time to remember, like, you know, I always advocate for my kid just like every mom does. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Rather than this is the hard part of being a mom with an ADHD kid. You know, like, you know what I mean? You just listen to people talk about it.
Yep. It's
like looking for the little thoughts
and
you clean it up. And I promise you, it makes eating healthier feel better. You start being able to put things back on that list.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm here. I'm still here.
You're doing fine. Just do me a favor. Listen to phase two. I think you're going to find a lot of relief in that.
Okay.
So much of what I just told you will make 1,000 times more sense. Phase two.
I've been holding off doing it because I haven't been real consistent with my 24-hour plan, my four basics. So it, me, the perfectionist, is like, well, you should be really consistent about doing your 24-hour plans before you go on to phase two. But I feel like I keep wanting to know.
Yeah, let's learn the thought work. If you'll learn the thought work part, it will tell you what's standing in the way of the consistency.
Okay.
The main reason I start you guys off with the four basics first is so that you guys can just get used to it. But all I want, like, you don't have to be consistent necessarily with the four basics. You just have to understand them. And you have to be getting in there and getting sloppy with them. And then the thought work comes. Everybody does. Every single person does.
Yeah.
But what the phase two will teach you is how to not judge yourself over them not going the way you think they should.
Oh, yeah, I need that then.
Yeah, the four basics are literally designed for you to start doing and see where all the areas with your food you need to work on are. That's why I keep them really simple, is so that you can see when you exactly when you're overeating. So that, like, if you're planning, we can see, are you creating realistic plans or not? Are you hanging on to, like, I can tell by anybody's plan if they're in diet mentality land or not. I can tell when somebody's not planning that they're either worried that they're too busy to lose weight or they're worried they'll do it wrong. Or they don't like seeing their mistakes, so they just avoid the planning to begin with because they have a terrible conversation with themselves after they haven't followed the plan. I can tell, I tell you what, you tell me your thing, I will tell you your problem. I have a feeling that you are going to feel 1,000 times better in about 3 months if you will start phase two and start learning how to just have a better relationship with yourself through your life.
Okay.
Promise.
I'm really excited. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Lisa.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Let's see. I got a couple of questions in here. Let me answer these and then let's get out of here. I went late as usual. I heard you say on a binge call from last year, wow, Liz, you're doing so good. Bingers set themselves up to binge by they try to lose weight. Would you elaborate on that? Thanks. Yeah. So I think for, like, when you think about binging, the focus becomes the weight loss. And what I notice with a lot of bingers is that you guys have a lot of story around there being good foods and bad foods, foods that I feel safe around, foods I can control myself. We have to clean all that up first before you can start really working on the weight loss. If you are working more on the, like, including foods that you have stories around, practicing how to have these foods, doing some planned binges, do, like, basically reconstructing your life with the food and stuff, the unintended byproduct of it will eventually be reduced binging, eating from self-love, which you never overeat from self-love, guys. We always overeat because we're somehow self-loathing in some way. Like, I deserve it over my goals. I don't want to waste food, but I'll waste it in my body. So we always do some type of overeating from a self-loathing perspective. When you really start, like, reconstructing the story you have around food, your relationship with it, loving yourself through the process of the binges, like dropping the shame and stuff, you start noticing the binges do start coming down. And the unintended byproduct is that as the binges come down, you start eating in a way that feels very loving and compassionate, that includes goals, that includes who you want to be in the world, like a normal eater and stuff. Weight loss starts to probably happen along that way anyway. But when the goal is just weight loss, you will bring your old diet mentality into it. You will bring old rules, fears, and all this other stuff while just trying to lose weight. So that is what I meant by that. How do I help my family get used to the new me and my new way of thinking? You don't. You just be that person. And you let them adjust on their own. We don't want to have an expectation that people are going to, like, you know, decide to love. Like, you got to think about it. You've become someone different in their eyes. their brain's natural tendency is going to want to fight it. It's going to want to want the old you back just because they're used to the old you. Giving them just some love and compassion, oh yeah, they don't have to understand any of this. I can keep doing me while they're figuring it out is always a great place to be. I'm 1 month into maintenance and working on trying to figure out my plus two in this new space. I've discovered that I need such a small amount of food to hit a plus two, and I have some mental drama and chatter about it. Any suggestions on addressing or working through it? Holly, if you want to, I don't know if you've listened to the maintenance phase of No BS. That's phase four. I would listen to that. One of the things that you can do is you need to do a thought download on what is my mental drama and chatter about I need so little food. You're smaller. Of course you'll need less food. Sometimes I am so shocked at how little food that I actually need. Even these days, most of the time when I'm overeating, it almost always comes from this thought of, I should be able to eat more than this. Really? Should you? Are you actually hungry? Do you need more? You know what I mean? It's not always about I'm seeking relief and I've had a bad day and stuff. There's all kinds of little things that we think about that will drive overeats. So I would just list out the stuff and then just question it. Why do I think I need to eat more food? The other thing is if you are continuing to lose weight and you're eating at a plus two, you can move up a few bites and just do a plus two and a half, a plus three to kind of see where you are. I can maintain eating. If I wait until I'm hungry, I can usually, most days I'll eat three times, sometimes just two, because I just don't get hungry like I used to. And I think it's because I only exercise 45 minutes to an hour a day, sometimes a little longer depending if I'm training for something. But I just do exercise and then I sit most of the day and work. I'm just talking to you guys on coaching calls and just doing the things. So I don't need as much food as I used to when I was kind of up and at it and doing more all the time. So a lot of times what I can do is I'll eat to a plus three or four and I can maintain just fine doing that. So you just play with it. You may be able to eat a little bit more. So just see, but just be open to the idea of you want to be moving the food needle around, not from this idea of I should be able to eat more. Just be curious with it and just say let's see what happens. And then if you start gaining any, then you want to go back. And if you don't, then you want to, then this is the new normal for you. All right. I hope that helps. All right, guys, that's it for today. Let's see. I'm going to take a look. I want to pimp a call we're going to be doing later this week. We are doing, I think it, this week is Wine and Ding Dongs. So for all of you, let me tell you what that is. I got to move my Q&A box. On Thursday night, it's Wine and Ding Dongs with me. What does that mean? So we are going to be doing together a workshop where you bring your favorite food that you either have thoughts it controls me, I can't just stop, or foods that you're afraid of or that you overindulge frequently in. So you get to bring whatever you want. Just pick something, and then there is a worksheet that you're going to print from the website called the Tedious and Powerful Worksheet. So if you go over to the pnptribe.com, go to the, there's a worksheets and courses tab at the top on the menu bar. Go where the worksheets are. Scroll all the way down. There's a Tedious and Powerful Worksheet. We're going to do that one together in live time. So you will be eating your food with me on the call, and then I'll be asking some questions and having you do some things, and then we'll be doing some coaching and answering Q&A around this is typically binge food, trigger food, urge food, craving food, temptation food, any of those things that you're just I really want to do this work and I want to do it in lifetime. So that workshop is going to be on Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Time here on Zoom. Okay, that's it, y'all. I have the girls that came and did 6 day with me. Y'all are up in 25 minutes. And then the Queen's Club, if you're in Queen's Club, listen to this call. Your call today is at 4 p.m. So it's coaching day. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.